Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Well, I have to say I'm very excited.
Yes.
Because here we are in Brighton.
Yes.
For the whole reason we did musical improv in the first place.
You are the reason we exist.
Yeah.
Nancy and Marshall.
Yeah.
See, many years ago, Nancy and I had babies. One male, one female.
The male's name, Joe. The female, Heather.
And now we're just planning to basically steal your lives. Replicate
everything. I think it's wonderful.
So we've just spent a whole day under your tutelage, learning how to present ourselves on stage and sing proper songs. And this is something that really interests me, is that how the British improvise and how we sing songs compared to Americans. Because I think we've got to do so much more work just to get to the point that Americans will naturally just stand on stage.
Yeah.
We have to learn to do that, because that's not part of our heritage, to sort of place your feet on the stage and be...
Right, to be strong.
To take your stand.
Yeah. Yeah, and to sing about how you feel. We don't do that with British, we have to apologise for everything. Especially if it's emotional.
But it is something, with our first cast of Musical the Musical in Chicago, that is something we had to work on. Yeah. Because improvisers in general, when they get on stage and they start talking, because they're making it up, they tend to wander around stage, they tend to... you know, do things with their hands,
fidget
yeah. in other ways. Yeah. So I think that's everywhere. You can tell the difference between someone standing on stage and making it up, usually, and someone standing on stage doing a scripted thing.
So it's not hopeless for us. We can't.
No. And it's not even just music. I mean, when I did a stand-up class years ago in New York, and it was the first thing they taught us, take the stage, own the stage. Because you don't do that normally. You kind of stand there and go, sorry, I'm going to do this mic. I have no talent whatsoever, but yeah. You know, forgive me.
I'm sorry.
And if you're singing a musical, you can't afford to apologize.
No.
Not at all.
No. Any way, not even with an eyebrow.
No.
You just...
And you have to really be aware of it, really careful. That's a large part of the work, is looking and seeing, because these are unconscious things that you do.
Yeah.
It's not like you're consciously going, you know, listen, I suck, but, you know, but your body language is, you know, is saying it.
I really enjoyed today, just that phrase that kept coming up, you know, I could see the improviser there, you know, don't be an improviser. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with improvising,
right.
But of course, showing that you're improvising, you're absolutely right, there's no reason to, you know, and to present something like it's scripted, you know, why can't we do that, you know,
yeah.
There's no reason why we can't do
and
that.
And also when you said, you know, there's plenty of Broadway musicals out there that suck, but they suck big.
Yes,
they right. suck in a particular style.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it's true. You go and see a show, you're not going to love all of it.
No.
And there's going to be something like, oh, well, yeah. And that's the scripted stuff. Some guys like spend years of his life
writing, honing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's no need to show any weakness when you're improvising this stuff.
Yeah. Because there's nothing wrong.
No.
There's no script. You can't do anything wrong to the script.
It's also a matter of, and that kind of comes back to the subconscious thing, you kind of have to get an attitude in yourself. You have to develop an attitude. I mean, when I come and I'm going to do musical improv, there's a part of it that's terrifying. Mm. That is just, I can't do this. You know, how is this done? Even though I've done it for years, there's a part of it that comes, how is this done?
Right.
But I've had this other part that I've developed that, not now. Not now. You sit in the back show, I need Mr. Confidence to come out. You know, that's the same thing with auditions. You know, you can't go into an audition going, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this for you. It's, I belong here.
And you feel it too. I mean, you know, yes. As an actor as well,
yes.
That feeling of being in an audition, when you start to let it give, and all the confidence drains out
yeah.
of you.
Yes.
You know, we all know that feeling, and it's just like, if you let that in the door even a tiny bit, then, but I suppose that's a commitment thing really, isn't it? You
yeah.
know, if you don't stay committed 100%, then you're risking that beast of underconfidence coming in and letting it. This is a horrible feeling, so why let it in?
Right. Well, with Zenprov, we talk a lot about being aware in meditation, and just being aware how you think, meditating helps with that. So when you start that, when you question yourself, if you have been meditating, you can catch that much sooner and just go and breathe into it and not get in that loop of, oh no, I'm in my head. No, oh, but just by saying that, I'm more in my head. No, I suck. So that really does help with, we think, with meditating in the Zen prop sense and with the songs.
Yeah, we did a class with you a couple of years ago and we started with, we had our hands like this for the benefit of those listening by audio. the hands kind of opposite sides touching, and it was kind of like a mini meditation at the beginning of the class. You had a word for it. I can't remember what it was.
The mudra?
The mudra? Maybe it was the mudra.
Yeah, it was
mudra.
Actually...
Yes,
I did it wrong. Yeah. But luckily, this is audio, so no
one
saw it.
Yes, no one can see it.
I'm doing perfectly well.
That's right. For our listeners, you can look up mudra.
Yeah, but it was really grounding. Mm-hmm. You know, like just being grounded, I think, really helps.
Well, the mudra is a thing that's used in meditation. It's a barometer. And it's a great, it's kind of the same thing we're talking about, because it's, what is your internal state? Are you aware of it? Because sometimes when you're meditating, especially when you first start, you can do a mudra like this, or, you know. For those of you who are listening by audio,
tough
noogies. if your hands start pushing together, if your fingertips are pushing together, that's showing that you're working too hard, you're straining.
If you're thinking too hard.
If they come apart, you're spaced out. And that's a good way of training yourself, of beginning to see, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. It's great every so often to check in on stage, but you know it. Eventually you know it. You know, am I, my performance, something's missing. What is it? Oh, I know, me. my confidence. Okay, well, here I am.
And this is, again, where you have to rely on rehearsal.
Yeah.
A lot of people who come to see our shows who... But they're really confused by the concept of rehearsing an improvised show.
Right.
They sort of, I think, they kind of think we sort of get together because we enjoy it. But we wouldn't really have to, because we're making it up. So why don't we just turn up and, oh, it's great you do an improvised show, because you don't have those early call times. It's like, no, you're completely wrong, because you can't afford to be thinking about all that stuff when you're on stage.
Right.
It's like a sportsman can't be thinking about what he's doing with his arm when he's about to hit a tennis ball.
You've practiced it over and over until it's muscle memory.
Yeah,
and it
exactly.
just comes naturally, and you can get out of your own way.
Yeah, so something like today for us has been quite scary, because we're used to being in our comfort zone as a troupe, and then suddenly it's just like, how are we going to think about all this stuff when we're on stage? It's like, no, we don't have to. You just have to, like, bed it in. And again, being in touch with yourself when you're on stage, you can practice that.
Yes.
So that when you're on stage, you don't have to constantly, consciously check in with yourself. It should just kind of happen naturally.
Right.
When I teach, what I look to do, I tend to give a lot of notes. And what I'm looking for is the point at which the person is self-aware. Mm. Where, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I was doing, saying, you know, if I'm looking at a scene I've seen this week and I see why, I will ask, why do you think? And that way I see, I can get at a certain point, you know, they'll say, oh, well, okay, I didn't have an objective. I'm like, great, I don't need to give you that note anymore. You understand. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's not that you never make the mistake, but you know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nice to sort of, I say this, be at the point of improvising where not every show you do is the best show you've ever done, but the ones that you do that don't give you that kind of feeling of flying or feeling of flow, you can look back at them and say, I know why that didn't work.
Yeah.
We didn't have a relationship. We didn't listen to each other. We didn't care about each other. You know, it's nice to be at the point where, even though it's not always fantastic, you know when it's not hitting the points it is, and then your bottom bar kind of keeps going up and up, really, which is a nice
you're still learning. That's a nice thing, too. It's good to fail every so often, because otherwise you come in there thinking you're bulletproof, you know, and then you're really in trouble.
I actually... wrote a little blog recently about Japanese martial arts and improv. How geeky is that? But one of the things they talk about is beginner's mind.
Yes.
I think that's a huge... It's so important to have that, you know.
Yes.
Even if you've been doing it for ages, you think, I've nailed this. It's like, again, as much as you can't get it wrong, you can't have nailed it, because it's different every time, you know.
Right.
So it's good to keep thinking...
Absolutely. When you think you know everything, you can't learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not open
to... That's when you're really
anything.
In trouble.
Yeah.
But for me, that always, when I feel that, I start looking for, okay, where am I going to fail big now? Because that's kind of the pattern. There's something in me that says, you know, oh, you got a little too much pride there, son.
There you go. Oh, hello. Knock you back a peg or two.
That's it.
Would you be up for doing a song?
A song?
Well, I was just thinking it might be fun to do maybe a little trio, like we, three of us, and yes. You.
So the title of this is Across the Water.
Across the water.
Okay, great.
Should we? We'll improvise what we're doing.
Silliness.
Yay!
Heather, it seems like when you and I sing, we're always crossing something.
That's true.
Last time we were crossing the street.
It's a theme.
To get to Tesco. Yes.
This time we across the water.
Yeah. Weird. It's in the air. That's funny, actually, what you were just saying about silliness, because it just keeps it coming up lately. Like, the more you kind of think about something, the less you learn your ability to play. The less, that wasn't even a sentence. The less you remember your ability to play. Yeah. Do you have any tips on that?
About keeping the play?
Yeah.
It's sort of what we were talking about with beginner's mind, is don't think you know everything. Just because you're learning a lot and you know a lot, you still have so much to learn, even from the most beginner person. I see a lot in like improv jams, where you have people who have been doing improv for years, or impro, sorry, and an improviser gets up who's brand new with that, and usually the expert one, so-called expert, is like, oh no, I have to do a scene with this person. Yeah. So they've lost the play already. When you start judging, you've lost the play. You can't judge and be playful at the same time.
You get that from children as well, don't you? Where you just want to get home from school, say, and they're jumping on every wall, and they're looking at every flower, and they're playing with every cat and brick, and you're like, come on, we just need to get home. And then after a while, you're like, actually, that's much more interesting. What am I going to do at home anyway? What's so interesting about being at home?
That's true.
What's wrong with being here?
Yeah, what's wrong with just being here? So if a complete beginner comes, like, maybe we could learn from them. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, they're unpolluted by all this stuff that I think.
Yeah, unbound by the rules.
Yeah, maybe they'll come out with something that's just totally magical.
Yes.
They don't know what it's supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And those, what we consider mistakes, I mean, those lead you in places you never would have gotten to with your rules, so.
One of the things that we just discovered, and we're still discovering it, in Zenprop, we're always struggling to try and get as close as we can to the immediate now, the immediate moment. And what we're doing now, we're focusing on emotion. What are you feeling right now? That, for me, really brings me to beginner's mind. Because an emotion is something which is really present. It's happening right now. And I can say it's anger, or I could say it's, you know, sadness or whatever, but that doesn't mean anything. Each emotion is its own thing, and to really experience it and really let it live means to be completely present with it. And that has nothing to do with your mind. That has to do with, you know, what's here now. Yeah.
And I found when I was writing my book, also on musical improv, as your wonderful book is, that I really found that when I was emotionally grounded in what I was going to sing about, the words flowed much easier. Because then I was discovering them, they were right there already, rather than having to think them up, which is much harder. Yes. It takes longer, and it's not as brilliant as just, you know, feeling that feeling and it comes out. And then metaphors come out, similes.
And you know, it's the same for me as a musician.
Yes.
If I think it's about time in this show that we had a song, then I'm floundering to think of what to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we need a song. Maybe it should be an up-tempo song. Maybe it should be a jazzy song. Right. Maybe it should be this. And all these decisions. Whereas if a moment happens in a scene where it's like, here's the song,
there it is.
Then it just, it's just
the emotion tells you.
It's not a problem. And it's like, I'm not thinking about this.
Right.
Yeah. Thing. It just comes out.
Yes.
And I think that thing about what do I feel right now can feed a lot into character as well. I was talking to someone about this the other day, about how when you walk into a scene, how do you feel right then in that moment as a person?
Mm-hmm.
To take the essence of that and make it into a character, I think is really important. I think sometimes feel a bit can feel a bit exposed, but if they come in and they're in a bad mood that day, bring that to the table.
Yes. How else could it be sincere?
Yeah.
You know, you can't fake. You can't say, oh, God, I should feel this emotion. This would be funny if I do this character. And that's what we talk about when you say improv-y. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, that's very cute. It's a little zany.
Right, it's like, this will be funny if I do this or say this.
To get to the true, it has to be real. I mean, that's the definition of the word. It's true. Therefore, what am I feeling right at this moment? Oh, there it is. And it's funny because we are so trained not to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'll show you anything. I'll get up on stage, I'll do anything, I'll risk humiliation, but what I will not do is get naked. And that's what it is, you're getting naked. Here's what I really am, folks, you know?
Hmm.
That's so much more exciting, I think, than invented.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Stuff.
Yes.
And I don't think that means you can't go big as well. You know,
no, absolutely.
Just take 10% of what the kernel of what you have,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just turn the volume up on it, but at least it's got some sincerity. I wonder whether we should do like one last song or something to finish off.
Yeah, go on, why not?
Yeah!
Sure.
Let's do a verse, you can sing a verse each,
mm-hmm.
and someone sing a chorus about something. That's the nature
Great.
Of it.
How's about what we're feeling?
Like, have a conversation about how you're feeling.
I feel horrible. I've been feeling horrible for weeks now. And I'm really tired of feeling horrible. So I'm tired and horrible.
Come on, grab hold of yourself. Grab hold. Push that horrible feeling out. Feel happy. Happy, that's what you should be feeling.
Yeah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. When you came into this church today, Dave, you know, you need to accept that feeling horrible sometimes isn't an option.
Well, I don't think I chose it. I just, you know, just kind of feel horrible. You tell me, do you know a way out?
I think we do. I think you gotta turn horrible to happy.
Mm-hmm. saying. It's this thing I'm feeling. It's a thing that I can control. And it's something I can turn on its head. And I don't have to.
Today.
Yes. Mm.
And for talking and for singing with us.
And yes. Thank you guys for caring. I mean, it's so wonderful to connect with other people who care about this as much.
Yeah. There's not many of us.
No.
We have to stick together.
Yes.
Right. And raise the bar. Yeah. Raise the bar. Because there's a lot of musical improv out there right now that, you know, people, it's just getting started as an art form.
It is.
So it's fairly low, the level, for the most part, not to insult anyone out there listening, but generally, but the bar is raising all the time, so I love it.
Yeah. It's the future of musical improv.
Yeah.
Surgeon Smith, you're in the middle of the operation, but you just stopped. What are you doing, man?
I've decided I need to quit medicine and go to my true love.
But Surgeon Smith, the man is on the table. His brain is open.
I can hear you.
What? You didn't give him an anesthetic?
I can't do it anymore.
What?
For years, I've been living other people's dreams. I need to live my own dream.
But this man is going to die on your table,
what?
Surgeon Smith.
I can still hear you.
Quiet down there.
Okay.
We're talking.
Okay, sorry.
Shouldn't you at least close up his brain?
Did you hear what I said? I need to live my own dream. For years, I've been living up to other people's thoughts. For years, I haven't done what I want. I've only done what I ought. The moment comes when it's ripe and there's cream. I have to do what I dream.
For years, your sense of disappointment has been palpable. I could hear it every time you said, "Pass me the scalpel." Your anger and frustration is busting out your hospital gown.
on to just what I ought.
You've got to do what you ought.
Sometimes the truth it screams. Your head together first.
Yay!